All right, my name is Sean. I'm a staff worker with Focus Credo. And today, that's the passage we talked about. But growing up, which was a long time ago for me, I remember I was told one day we will become a paperless society. No, it's not happening for me. I think, ironically, the more automations and gadgets we surround ourselves, the less time we have. The busier we get, the more unfulfilled we are. Yet, the mark of the Christian life is an abundant life. That's what Jesus told us in John 10:10. He said, He has come so that those who follow Him will have life and have it to the full. These are the questions that are addressed in the Apostle Paul's letter to the Church of Colossae. Yeah, there you go. Try to learn to use this new gadget, cool thing there. Yes. All right. So located on a prosperous trade route in the Roman Empire, the church is no stranger to competing human cultures and the mix and match religions and philosophies. Some of these new teachings have found its way into the church, and Paul is concerned. He's concerned that the Colossians might be divided and eventually lose their faith. So he writes the letter to encourage them and to remind them of this great mystery of God, Jesus Christ. That's in verse 3. It says that in this person, Christ, are hidden the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Quite a bold claim, isn't it? And he warns them not to be carried away by the philosophy which packages itself with clever arguments and beautiful words. These things appear to be clever, but they are not of wisdom. Of course, the arguments Paul gave is because they are not rooted in Jesus Christ. What's so special about this person, Jesus? Why must wisdom be rooted in Jesus? Should have shown you this. This is how Colossae looks like. And this is the reason given by Paul. Say that the Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creations. For in Him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through Him and for Him. He is before all things. And in Him, all things hold together. So Jesus is more than a great wise man, more than a great teacher. Jesus is the Son of the living God. He reigns supreme. He's the center of all creation. Verse 16 tells us that we are created intimately by and for Jesus. And Paul tells Colossians, you know this guy. I cannot imagine Paul whispering, like, young Colossians, because they are young Christians in church, you have hit the jackpot. You have found a hidden treasure. In 2003, a British teenager, Collie Rogers, won $3 million at 16 years old, making her the country's youngest ever lotto winner. She bought family and friends expensive gifts, spent thousands of dollars on parties and nights out, bought herself breast implants and designer clothing, and spent $415,000 on cocaine. But none of it made her happy. Within 6 years, all the money was gone, and she tried to take her own life. She said, my life is in a shambles, in a mess. She said in 2009, it's ruined my life. Not all treasures are good for us. Well, the Colossians have a different outcome when they receive Christ, the hidden treasure. The Colossians were previously separated from God. They are enemies to God in their minds. Their thinking are naturally anti-God. Their desires distorted. Identities confused. Their lives directionless. Worst of all, the Colossians on the path of destruction. But because of their faith in Christ, they are now freed from the power of darkness and belong to the kingdom of the Son. They are also presented as holy and reconciled to God. In Jesus is hidden the wisdom that really matters, wisdom that saves. For what good is it if we possess the wisdom to gain the whole world but lose our soul? Unbelievable. Sinful people are presented as righteous and holy, all because of the work of Jesus at the cross. But is that all there is about Christian life? I have received Jesus into my heart. I'm saved now. What's next? What happens next is expressed in Colossians chapter 2, verse 6 to 7. You can look at it in your booklet. These verses are the heart of Colossians. They describe the mysterious work of Jesus in the lives of those who continue their faith in him. Paul called this mystery in chapter 1, verse 27, Christ in us, the hope of glory. That's the mystery Paul referred to in Colossians 2:2-3. For those who continue their faith, something extraordinary happens to them. And Paul expresses this process as Christ being formed in you in Galatians 4:19. But how would the Colossians continue their faith in Jesus? The answer lies in verse 6. So then, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him. What does Paul mean by continue to live your lives in Jesus? It's kind of an odd phrase, isn't it? Live your lives in Jesus. Why doesn't Paul say, in order to continue your faith, read the Bible more, keep meeting with other fellow believers, or imitating Jesus in every way, or be Christ-like, doing what Jesus did? But he says, continue to live your lives in Christ. Well, perhaps the following illustrations may help. Imagine I was invited to a lavish party to be held in a luxurious mansion. I don't know the host personally, but for some strange reasons, my name found its way to the guest list. When I arrive there, the host welcomes me with a big smile. Upon entering the big hall, I'm blown away with expensive furniture, ornaments. So I check out the paintings. I go to the garden, have a drink, and finally the party finishes with a delicious, out of this world, very delicious dinner. When it's all over, I'm gone. Don't you find it a little odd that I have not had a conversation with the host or getting to know him? Or at least find out why I am invited in the first place. Sometimes we treat God like that, isn't it? So living in Christ begins with knowing Christ. Paul wants the Colossians to be interested in Christ, to have personal knowledge of him. Knowing Jesus personally is not just about agreeing with the truths and information about Jesus and the Bible. It's about having fellowship with Jesus, spending time with him. Well, the good news is that we don't have to wait till Christ returns, don't we? In Christ, the veil of the Holy of Holies, the place where God's presence has been ripped apart, a pathway is created. So when we pray and worship the Lord, we are taken to the Holy of Holies to have fellowship with the Father and the Son through the Spirit. So imagine hanging out with the wisdom who creates and sustains the world. So what would it do to you? You will be changed. Your life will be transformed. Look at verse 7. Continue to live your lives in him, rooted up and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you are taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. The imagery of building from the foundation suggests that there is more than just being saved from the wrath of God when we receive Jesus, more than just receiving a ticket to heaven. It suggests growth. The spiritual growth is not the same as being more ethical, more moral. It's not about developing virtue, doing good, doing more good, something you and I can actively pursue. The series of verbs, rooted up and built up and strengthens, gives a sense of continual growth. It means growing and growing and growing. Yet each of these passive verbs in the Greek also tell us that something is happening to the Colossians that's not a direct result of their own actions. This continual growth is empowered by Christ in us. Not self-generated, not self-help, not based on own efforts, but by the power of Christ in us. In other words, Jesus lives in us, regenerating, recreating us into new creation through the Spirit. Do you believe that God still works in us in this day and age in Sydney 2016? Yeah? Yeah. Oh, love to hear that. Look at the vegetables, the corn, the wheat. When farmers plant and water, they weed and they prune the fruit trees and the plants grow. Can we really say the farmer caused the plant to grow? No. The farmers merely participate in the growing of the plant. We can't say the farmers grow the plant or produce the fruit. We do not live in self-created, self-constructed lives, but rather living in active response to Christ in us. We grow when we respond to the Christ in us, when we participate in the life of Jesus. According to C.S. Lewis, this empowered growth is precisely what Christianity is about. This world is a great sculptor shop, he's saying. We are the statues. And there's a rumor going around the shop that some of us are someday going to come to life. For we are God's masterpiece. In order for us to become alive, we need to be filled with life. And this life is Jesus. So, imagine you're at a museum, and slowly, one by one, the statues around you start to move, become alive. Remember that? Remember this movie? Anyone watch this? Yeah? Pretty shocking, isn't it? Even more shocking when you found out you're the only one left, when all other statues are gone. Because you could not move. You're left there standing, stone cold, pretending to be human. We can, like that. We can become truly alive. This is possible because you and I are created in the image of God. We have huge potential for growth. We have vast potential for transformation. Verse 9 and 10 tells us that Christ, who is fully God in bodily form, knows how this image looks. So he begins his work in us. Start chipping away, bit by bit, day by day. And to sculpt us into the persons God has made us to be, Christ has to camp in us. He's making his home in us. But there's much work to be done. So he keeps doing this. until you find your fulfillment in Him. Verse 10 says that, for in Christ you are brought to fullness. Just like this key. Try to take out my key. That's my car key. This key. It fits exactly into the keyhole of my front door. Right? It means we are fulfilled, perfect, we are complete. We become truly ourselves. Soren Kierkegaard prayed, and now, Lord, with your help, I shall become myself. So one day, that wonderful day, when we arrive in a place where God has prepared for all of us, for all eternity, and then we will look around and look at all the people around us fully transformed and changed. And then we will look at one another in the eyes and exclaim, cried out in surprise. Of course. This is who we are always meant to be. We have become truly ourselves in Christ, and we are home. Don't you long for a day like that? Yes, all of this will happen to us, provided we participate in the life of Christ. When we do that, we are joined in Christ. We are connecting with the center of creation. We are plugged into the power of regeneration. When we are powered by the life of Christ, only then do we live the life to which we are called by the Father, an abundant life. And Jesus expresses this reality in John chapter 15:5. He said, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me, look at the in Christ imagery, and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. So Paul's message to Colossians is a great reminder to us. We need to prioritize our time such that our life is not a series of activities and distractions, so much so we leave the scraps for Jesus. Gordon Smith, my professor at Regent College, in his book, Called to be Saints, I highly recommended this book. Couldn't have said it any better when he said that. We do not merely follow Jesus, though we will certainly follow. We do not merely obey Jesus, though certainly we live as those who do his will. And we do not merely imitate Jesus, though without doubt we follow his example. Rather, we participate in the life of Jesus. That's what makes Christian a Christian. We participate in the life of Jesus. Indeed, we are ordinary people with extraordinary power.